Today's episode is going to be super fun because we're going to be going through 10 perfect songs from underrated artists. And it's going to be fun because Lou and I like to bump a lot of different rappers. There's obviously a bunch of different discographies to explore. But when you go through more of the underrated side of material, especially for the rap genre, you find those solid gems that are literally flawless where you try to go through the track and you don't really find any sort of flaws with it. So what was your process like for this? Because I know you're a very big, how could I say it?
I want to say you're like a stickler.
You're like a stickler. You're like a stickler. Like you, one little thing you'll find
listen,
that doesn't
bro,
consider,
like,
you know?
I'm not going to bring in 10 Bohemian Rhapsodies. You know what I mean? Like when it came to this list, I chose songs that are perfect for what the artist was attempting, whatever type of track trying to make.
By the way, okay. I brought in 8 rap songs. I brought in 2 little bonus rounds just outside of the genre that I find are super underrated songs from underrated artists.
Yeah.
Just to have a little
and
fun.
And I think it's an interesting conversation because if you guys have been listening to this podcast for long enough, you know, like our main mission is to put you guys onto music with this podcast and recommend you guys the best stuff possible. And this is sort of the perfect episode to do that, to put you on to some of the best songs to really get you into new artists, have you exploring different subgenres. And I think it's interesting when it comes to underground rappers just because there's always a huge variance between what one person considers to be an underground rapper versus what someone else does. You know what I mean? Like some people call Denzel Curry underrated, and yet it's not like he's a small artist. You know what I mean?
But you see, like, I have Mick Jenkins on this list, and I feel like Mick Jenkins is extremely underrated.
He's underrated, but he has a huge audience. You know what I mean?
So yeah, he's still underrated, though.
The same way that someone could say Denzel is underrated, though. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but
because
the type of conversation,
the whole, like, point with someone like Denzel is the fact that, like, he should be having this many people at his shows, or he should be selling this much given the quality of his albums. Like,
I mean, yeah, but the accessibility kind of plays to that in Denzel's music. I mean, something with a Mick Jenkins, you don't see like kids debating over the waters 24/7 like they would do with a Melt My Eyes to Your Future. I'm sorry, not even in the community does he get his type of respect. You obviously see the shout outs.
He's maybe more underrated, but I'm just saying you can still put people like Denzel and Vince in those lists depending how you define underrated for yourself.
Yeah, like another rapper that I included in today's list was actually Action Bronson. I feel like he's extremely underrated, especially now that he's kind of like taken his foot off the pedal on music to a certain extent.
Yeah,
like it's
to a certain extent.
He still
dropped last year.
He's still dropping
albums. They're making less noise, I feel. Like the albums, even though he's still cooking up with like Uncle Alchemist and other like top-notch producers. I don't know, I just feel like he's sort of like he's maintained his fan base, but he hasn't really like gone on the top shelf of what he could
attend.
Yeah, but
he's such a big personality and he has so much shit outside of the actual music that it makes sense for him to be able to explore different areas. But give me a couple of artists. Who did you bring in today?
Yeah, I have Aaron May in here, I have Toby Lou, I have Jay Grams, Joey Trapp, Ransom. So yeah, a lot of my songs that I brought in are like from the last couple of years, though. That's sort of how I made it, is really focusing on shit that's more or less new. But as always, guys, if you are enjoying this podcast, just before we get into some of these songs, make sure to hit that follow button on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you're listening to this. And if you guys also want to leave us a review, it would mean the world to us. But take me through your first song, bro. What do you have?
First song. All right. What do you want to hear, bro? You want Rome Streets? You want Sir? You want Chris Patrick? Well, Blue, who do you want?
Whatever you want to speak about the most.
I'd let you choose.
Which song do you want to speak about the most right now?
All
right,
fuck it. We spoke about Action Bronson. Let me bring in the choreographer off of Blue Chip 7000. Nice. I think this could be considered a perfect rap song by the triumphant energy that you get throughout it. It's incredible because Blue Chip 7000, I believe, came right after Mr. Wonderful. Right? It was Mr. Wonderful, and then after that, Blue Chips 7000.
I know Blue Chips came out in like 2017, and Mr. Wonderful was 2015, so it makes sense.
I think it was around that timeline, but regardless, I think this is the strongest song, actually, in Action Bronson's catalog. You obviously have his more popular stuff, like Enacting Crazy, which I figured you guys would probably know if you were familiar with Action Bronson.
Or even a Terry, for
exactly.
example.
Yeah. But for the most part, I wanted to bring in the choreographer, because it's not even the most streamed song on this album, which is pretty crazy, but it's incredible. You get Action Bronson with his outlandish bars all throughout the track, like usual, what you could expect from a classic Action Bronson performance. It's the way that the production meshes in with his performance. I feel like there's a perfect sync. It was the perfect production for Action Bronson to go ahead and attack. You could use this for your relaxation days. It hits in the car. I love playing this while I'm working as well. You wake up in the morning, you want to make a coffee, you could throw this on. It gets your day bright. It gets it started on a nice bright start, if that that makes sense to you. So I wanted to bring this in. And the reason why I think Action Bronson is underrated is because he has this pure hip-hop form to his craft. Reminds me of like a Ghostface Killah almost with the way that he uses his cadence and how raw and like rough it is to a certain extent.
Yeah, just the sound of his voice, you could say.
It's super unique, and I always felt like he did deserve more credit for the type of music he was putting out, but yet again, he was always selling out shows. He was featured on super popular albums, so I feel like he did get his love early on in the 2010s, but now as the new generation of listeners come through, people might know him for his YouTube series, or you know, I believe it's Fuck That's Delicious, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. Where he has his own cooking show. Actually, I saw
that was on Vice, right? I'm pretty sure that was on Vice.
I don't know if it was on Vice. I think maybe it was his own network.
I'm curious.
Yeah, check for me.
But yeah, but he's easily one of like the funniest rappers in the game.
Did he ever do like a comedy stand-up?
I don't know, but I feel like if he hasn't, bro, yeah, he needs to do that shit.
You ever see this guy whip up a chicken parm?
Yeah,
crazy.
He's a sick cook.
Yeah, he's a crazy cook.
Fuck That's Delicious. Okay, is it on Vice? Let's see.
I always felt like it was. It's
on Viceland. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Excusez-moi. But yeah, regardless though, wanted to bring this in as my first track. Well, I know you like this song a lot.
Yeah, of course. So. I fuck with that song heavy, and I mess with a lot of Action Bronson music. But first song that I brought in is going to be Let Go by Aaron May. Came out in 2019.
Classic.
And a lot of people have been buzzing about this Houston rapper for the longest time. And we've spoken about him before, but I just feel like I had to do my due diligence for people that aren't familiar with this song because it is his most streamed song. It does have like, I think, over 200 million streams, over 20 million views on YouTube. So even though Aaron May remains underground and underrated, this is a really popular song, and I love everything about it, bro. The instrumental is like dipped in nostalgia because you have this dreamy vocal sample, and it's a song that sort of represents like freedom and the type of peace of mind that Aaron May is trying to obtain. And he's offloading a lot of pain about his fears and like trying to find solace and pushing forward with, you know, with his career. And
he started getting the J. Cole comparisons after this song released. Do you feel like that's still the case with his new releases, or do you think that was
he's finding more of his own voice for sure.
All right.
But yeah, I love like so many deep lines he has in here, like my life going fast and I like moving slow. And the production as well. It's like this trap soul production, which is
crazy.
Rarely executed, let alone attempted at all. And an incredible performance from Aaron May. I love all the flow switches. I love how relatable and genuine he is. And that's what I would say, is that it's a great late night drive song. I've played this coming back from the studio late at night. I've played this to start my day. It's one of those songs you could sort of put into to captivate any type of mood you're trying to go in for. And it's cool because it's a song about like letting go of someone that you love. And a lot of us are like creatures of habit, and a lot of us procrastinate change in our lives. And this is sort of about like, no matter how hard it might be to let go of something you love or someone you love, sometimes it's the necessary thing to do. And that's something that I've struggled with in my own life, is letting go of certain habits or whatever the case may be. And it's just something that I related to as a message. So
yeah, very interesting. Bringing
amazing song.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
flawless.
Crazy that it's over 200 million streams at this point.
Yeah,
actually.
Bro. I didn't expect it to get to that point.
I thought maybe it was around 50, 60.
Yeah.
You know, you have songs that go mega viral and
no,
they get around.
Up.
Over 200 is quite impressive. Is it even considered gold at this point? If it's
it might be. I'd have to look into it.
Low key, just because I feel like what you have with that amount of streams, there's some damage to be done.
Yeah.
Anyways,
definitely is.
Let me go on to song number 2, Rome Streets In Too Deep, off of Kiss the Ring, a 2022 release. And we actually have this vinyl in the studio. I'm yet to have to spin it. I want to get a record player just to be able to put that on. I have my record player at my grandfather's, and I'm thinking about maybe bringing some of these vinyls over there just to be able to listen to with him and show him, like, let's say, the type of stuff that we're reviewing, get his take on it. But
how do you think he'd react to that?
Well, with something with In Too Deep, you get this incredible Conductor Williams production that's, again, drumless, like most of the stuff that you'll find from Rome Streets off of Kiss the Ring. And it feels like classic 90s boom bap hip hop to a certain extent, but with a modern twist. And when we've talked about Rome Streets, what's interesting is that not only is he underrated when it comes to the overall landscape of hip hop, but he's underrated within the actual Griselda camp, because most of the shine will go on to a Benny, will go on to a West Side Gunn, will go on to a Conway, will go on to a Boldy James now. Boldy James is getting a lot more deeply enrooted within the actual culture of Griselda. But I mean, for the most part, Rome Streets is easily, I think easily, a top tier lyricist on that collective right now. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
I think him and Conway are probably tied for the best lyricist next to Mac Hommy too.
Those three. Listen to the way he starts off this first verse. Dirty green cream before the brown sugar. Are you the player scoring buckets on the team or just an onlooker? I love the way that he's able to flesh out these methodical ideologies, but use them in sort of this street poetry format that not only allows you to connect easier to the writing, but also allows you to have fun with the song and to be able to be entertained by his wordplay. And it's not necessarily the most mind-blowing track ever, but in my opinion, the rapping performance from Rome Streets is near flawless. It's been one of my most played songs off of this entire album. Kiss the Ring would be in consideration now for like one of my favorite albums of 2022. I wish I could redo that list just to be able to see
if it was
off. I think I definitely consider it. And when we were waiting for this album, I remember Fajella was so hyped. He was like, man, this is going to be crazy. And I believe him now just because now that I've had time to be able to age with the project, you start to understand Rome Streets' vision and what he tries to do as a lyricist and how sharp he is, especially with the wordplay and the way that he's able to get all these types of different ideologies within his writing. So, In Too Deep off Kiss the Ring, baby.
Did you hear the new DJ Premier song? DJ Premier, Rome Streets and West Side Gun?
Yes, I did.
That's another flawless song.
That's
right,
another
there.
Flawless song.
Yeah, I was thinking about putting that in, but I'm like, it's a DJ Premier song. He's obviously not fucking underrated, so
no, that's
I can't
much.
Really bring that in. But yeah, I've loved witnessing Rome Streets' journey over the years. I mean, it's so cool that like he had to put in a lot of work before signing to Griselda. Something like Death and the Magician to me is better than Kiss the Ring. Although
I've
really like both projects.
It, actually, is it good? How do you
like
it?
Yeah, it's amazing, bro. It's really, it's darker. It's a bit grimier. The beats are dustier.
Who produced most of that?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't think it was like any of like the
Beat Butchers or...
Yeah, exactly. Any of the regular Griselda producers. But
oh, cool.
That's another great album if you guys want to tap into more Rome Streets. But my next song is going to be Hit and Run by Toby Lou featuring Chief Keef and Saba.
Mm.
And that's what's...
Chief Keef and Saba.
That's the craziest thing to me is that like you heard that title correctly, bro. And if you could believe it, there is a song that exists where Saba and Chief Keef are both featured on it. And it's not totally shocking just because Toby Lou, Chief Keef, and Saba are all from Chicago. So there is that like regional connection. But at the same time, you have three polar opposite artists all in the same song.
That's
and
interesting.
It's an experimental song that has like this wavy trap aesthetic to it with some melodic singing and rapping from Toby Lou, who throws essentially like the concept of the song is he's throwing a party and like he doesn't want his ex to show up. And it's sort of a heartbreak song in the sense that, you know, he's saying, fuck my ex, I'm going to throw this party and I hope that it all goes smoothly. But I just love how dynamic all the performances are. You have Saba finding the perfect pocket with a super dope, unique flow. And then Chief Keef pulls up and starts auto crooning. And it sounds great. And I think that's what a lot of fans could appreciate. Is that you don't hear Chief Keef really getting melodic and really, you know, going into that singing and crooning bag all that often. And he does that here and it sounds fucking excellent. Apart from that, I just love the creativity and the complexity of the production too, just because when you go to the last third of the song, you have this totally crazy transition into like this dance slash disco instrumental that rides out for like 40 seconds and really like builds on that atmosphere of you being at a party. So I think that was really clever and that's something you don't see often. But the song's just like a fun blend of like various subgenres that will loosen you up and make you appreciate how these three polar opposites came together to come up with a cohesive song.
That's so very interesting.
Shout out to Toby Lou. He's been at it for a minute and I think he keeps getting better with every release. So yeah, definitely check out Toby Lou.
Let me go into my third song. Lou, you are very familiar with this song. I wanted to bring it in for the listeners. This is Soul Amazing, Still Blazing by Blue in Exile off of Below the Heavens. And
classic.
Underrated? I mean, I think if
fucking
you
whole album is.
Hey, you want to open up Underrated in the dictionary, you'll see a picture of Blue in Exile right there. You'll see a picture of Below the Heavens right there. It's literally one of the best put together hip hop albums of all time. That's kind of disguised and masked because no one really talks about it like that. I've seen conversation around it in the hip hop Twitter community, don't get me wrong, but you know, you consider it one of your favorite albums of all time, and you really hold it to a high standard. Yeah. So do I, because of the perfect blend of jazz rap, boom bap, and West Coast G-Funk, low-key. Like, you have this West Coast production mixed in with the G-Funk and the boom bap, excuse me, and the jazz rap that kind of simultaneously all blends together to make for this perfectly heavenly beat, provided by Exile, of course. And then, if you want to talk about a perfect rapping performance, you're going to get, I believe it's two killer verses. No, three. Blue has three verses on this. I'm sorry. I don't even know why I questioned this, man.
Yeah.
Three killer verses throughout the entire track. Okay, I want to go through this one. This is how he starts off his first verse. The soul provider got a lot on the skillet, grilling it hard-boiled, charcoal fillings, the dark villain, and the light skin disguised my mind's sickening. Like, the way that he's able to start, I wanted to see a genius breakdown of this song. Just to be able to see the rhyme schemes and the patterns throughout it. So if you want to see a perfect rap song from not only a production standpoint but also a writing standpoint, this is the song for you. And maybe it will be your introduction into Below the Heavens, you know. Have we ever brought in this in for a recommendation?
I think that the one time we kind of spoke about it in depth was when we did the episode on like the best rap album of every year. And I had brought this in for 2007.
But we never really revisited it for recommendations.
I don't think we brought it into an audio podcast. But yeah, guys, if you haven't checked this out, I mean, this is one of the albums that changed my life, bro. Like this album really goes into like the beauty of the struggle. And like when I was like going through school and being lost and not knowing which path to take, like this album really helped me out. And even like at the beginning of the podcast where you're like sort of like doubtful of like, oh shit, like, you know, it's just an audio podcast right now. I don't know if like all this time we're putting in is really going to amount to much. Like, this is an album that made me appreciate the process. And that's what Blue really takes you through, is like the process of being a rapper. So a very humble album from Blue, a perspective that you won't find in many other places. And like you were saying, the production's heavenly, bro.
Oh, really? Yeah, is. Absolutely. And really what's cool about this song in particular is that there's not necessarily the most triumphant writing, if I could say that, throughout the entire track list. This is more of like a display of Blue's lyrical exercise and what he provides as an MC and just being able to go through all kinds of different ones. I want to read one last line from this. Describe through your mind's index my line chin checks and shine through your blind instant the sun syndicate, fat as Biggie with no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy shit.
Insane, and
incredibly insane. Written song. I wanted to bring it into the perfect song from a perfect rapper, Loki.
Yeah.
I could call him a perfect rapper.
Yeah, he's really underrated, like you said, in the dictionary. You'll see his face. But let me go on with another underrated artist. This is Jay Grams with his song Unstoppable, which dropped in 2020. And it's pretty funny because I actually found Jay Grams when I was surfing through YouTube and I saw a freestyle come up on Sway's Universe, and I'm like, okay, let me see what this is about. Looks like a young guy. Let's see what he has to offer. And I was really, really genuinely impressed with the freestyle. So if you guys want to check it out, just look up Jay Grams freestyle Sway's Universe. And then I just like, I think I quote tweeted a snippet of it on Twitter, and then we had a back and forth exchange on Twitter, and I was just showing him love and praise just for his work after I tapped into some of his songs. And I was really advocating for him because the numbers don't do him justice, bro. And that's the case for a lot of these artists.
Where is he from?
He's from... Why am I blanking out right now? Let me check it out. I think he's from Baltimore. Let me see. I think that's what I remember. Let's see.
You have it in your notes?
I'm looking it up.
Well, and how recent of a rapper is he?
He's been dropping since like late 2010s. Jay Grams. Where is he from? I can't find it. I'm pretty sure it's Baltimore, though. Yeah. From Baltimore, Maryland, which is not an area that you see a lot of big artists like hailing from. So hopefully he can make it and really put on for that city. But yeah, if you're looking for a young MC with a lot of substance, a lot of high replay value, this is one of the best songs that you'll find. And I love the fact that he's really taking you through like going from being a kid in the hood to making it into the rap game. And he really shows you all the pain that it took and really shows you all the hunger that he has. And there's a beautiful vocal sample that's looped, and Jay is just spitting rapid fire rhymes over throbbing trap drums all throughout. And the first verse starts off with a crazy rhyme scheme where he raps, hoping the Drake hits oppositions, it's God's plan with a large span to kick a free different guys but both suckers, Booker or Mr. T. Insane, like hoping the Drake hits oppositions, it's God's plan God's Plan, hit song, Draco hits the opposition. Insane double entendre there. And it's just, if you love an underdog story, that's what this song brings you, motivation. And Jay Graham is just a machine, bro. He's a rapper that would make your grandpa say, like, this is real rap. But yet he delivers it in a way that's palatable for audiences of any age. So
very interesting.
Amazing artist.
All right. Well, speaking about an underrated artist, I have another one. And we've spoken about this on the audio podcast before. We've spoken about The Color Blue and D2X on the audio podcast and what type of value he brings to the mic. But just like Jay Graham, and, you know, like you were describing for him, having that hunger, displaying the come-up story, I do feel like D2X's come-up story is very interesting. It's very passionate. He's documenting it in a very profound way that allows for his listeners to connect, and he has this accessibility factor to his sound. So I guess the song that could get you into The Color Blue, now to even expand further on the project.
Let's see what you chose. Wait, let me try to guess. Did you choose Shine?
I chose Hughes.
Hughes, okay.
I chose Hughes, yeah. Nice. Come on. It's the best song on the album.
I'd probably go Adult Swim or Shine, but
yeah. I went with Hughes because I feel like it's the production that best matches D2X's cadence, and I love just the triumphantness of the production and the instrumental that rings throughout. And it's very interesting because I was speaking to D2X on the phone, I think like 5 or 6 months ago. We had gotten to caught up, and I had asked about, like, so how do you choose your samples? Like, what's your production team looking like? Do you do it yourself? Do you have a team of in-house producers? Do you reach out in Chicago, this and that? He has a team of in-house producers that work with him, and they go vinyl digging and they go crate digging all the time, and they actually flip their samples live. And I find that super respectable. I find that staying true to the hip-hop format, and it adds a lot of personality and flavor to your music. So if you guys don't know, this is the same practice that, you know, someone like Madlib was using in Brazil for all of the stuff that he was cooking up back then in the 2000s. Same thing for Dr. Dre and Melman. If you guys got the vinyl of 2001, you'll see their massive, like, storage unit just full of vinyls and the crate digging that they had to do to be able to pluck out those special samples. So from a production standpoint, flawless song. I don't think you could possibly get anything else that kind of matches with this. Not only that, but I do think it's a perfect perfect performance from D2X to match along with it. As I said, it's very triumphant. It's there, and it gets you going.
Yeah, I mean, D2X is a big fan and supporter of NFR and just a friend of ours. And yeah, bro, he's been really killing it. He just had, I think, one of his first live performances in Chicago, and it was a nice, intimate setting. And yeah, bro, it was really cool to see what he was able to do. And I don't know if you saw, he was even rapping over the Devil in a New Dress instrumental.
I'd like to close see off his set. He would be, you know.
No, he did that. He did that as live show. There's a video of it.
No, I know, but I'd love to see it maybe in a mixtape format where he kind of takes all of these types of different iconic productions that feel close to him for his career and maybe put it together for a SoundCloud release or a Dat Piff release. So, interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. But shout out to D2X. He is dropping a new album this summer, but let me go on my next recommendation. I have Nemo by Joey Trapp. And this is one where you might listen to it and be like, fuck, this is perfect to you. Like, I'll be honest with you. This is the one where it's like, I could understand if someone does not see it as being like the most musically impressive. But to me, it's really dope for what he's trying to do. And it's just a fun, loose song. And I do love how original the instrumental is on this, because it starts off with this whistle and we get some Pharrell type percussion where the drums sound like someone's banging on the door. It really has that old noisy type of Pharrell production.
I've never even heard the song, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, Nemo by Joey Trapp. And yeah, I just love how we get an abundance of funny and witty one-liners throughout the song. Like, Perk made me lean back like Fat Joe, or Look Alive nonstop like Tay Keith, New York, 10 bands at Macy's. Like, sort of using Look Alive and nonstop, those song titles, to represent like his fashion style. I just thought that was clever. And it's a perfect song if you like DIY type of hip-hop that sounds low budget. Like, this song was probably made in like 15 minutes, but everything worked out the way that it was supposed to. And when it comes to Joey Trapp, super underrated artist, sort of takes influence, I would say, from XXXTentacion, Lil Wayne, Drake, a bunch of different people. But it's just a cool, original, wavy trap song that, like I said, has a lot of witty fucking lines, bro. And that's something that I value a lot. If someone can make me laugh or make me like read a line over or like rewind because of how heat it is, you have me.
So you're able to find those types of tracks, let's say, that don't necessarily, that are not supposed to be considered perfect, but everything kind of works in a certain way. So you get it to a perfect. Is that kind of how you feel about this certain song?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, it's perfect to me. Like, this is the one where, like, there's a lot of bias compared to the rest on here, where it's, like I said, it could be debatable if it's really perfect or not.
All right, so where do you want me to go? Do you want me to bring in one of these picks that are not rap music? What do you want me to do?
Yeah, sure, change it up. What do you got? I have all rap, by the way, for my list.
Yeah, I just thought it's cool with this audio podcast to be able to give you guys something that maybe is a bit of a curveball for you guys. But, Lou, have you ever heard of Donny Bonet?
Donny Bonet. No?
You know Donny Bonet. I'm going to show you a picture of Donny Bonet.
Okay.
And you're going to know exactly which song I'm going to because it's a very big song for your brother. And it was your brother.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Don't even show me. Wait.
Oh, bro. I almost broke my computer on this. Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
You smashed the laptop.
Jeez.
You thought I was going to grab it and then I'm
no,
like.
No, because I. Oh, my goodness. Is everything.
Yeah, is it chill?
Yeah. We're good. Holy shit. That would have been crazy.
I had to almost destroy his MacBook during the audio pod. Yeah, of course. Konnichiwa. Yes.
You know Donny Bonet.
Of course.
So the track is produced by Donny himself,
really?
Performed okay. by Donny. Donny's a sick fuck. Look at that haircut, bro. This guy looks like he's straight out of a Night at the Roxbury movie, you know, like one of those cuts. And that's exactly how I feel while I'm listening to this song. Konnichiwa.
Kind of guy that looks like he does like Elvis impersonations, you know what I mean?
My love. He has an incredible voice, though.
He does.
Donny Bonet has an incredible voice. And you could go listen to his studio album, The Dawn, that released.
Guys, it would be so much funnier if you could see what this guy looks like. This is the one time where like visuals are fucking needed for an audio pod. But
Donny Bonet is a legend, bro. Please, guys. Night in Rome is fantastic off this album as well. But I wanted to bring this in because I was bumping it this week and I was just enjoying it so much. Donny fucking Bonet, man. Absolutely.
Australian, man. Okay. Yeah, he really takes you back to the disco days for sure, bro.
Incredible track. Yeah. Just absolutely flawlessly produced. His voice is incredible throughout all of it. Infectious hook. Everything you want out of a disco track. And if you really want to feel like you're playing GTA 5, throw this on. Like, you know the GTA 5 lore? You know when you feel like you're kind of... sunset's going, you're in your whip, maybe you're driving back home from work or from school.
Yeah.
You're in that zone. This is the perfect song for that setting. One that I actually bumped this morning with my espresso. Incredible. I connected to my TV through the iPhone and I could just have it ringing throughout the entire apartment. My dad wasn't home, so it was able to pass. But yeah, perfect non-hip-hop song.
Super relaxing vibe. Yeah, like my brother usually listens to it like at the end of a chilling after having a couple of cigars and some scotches, and this will be like the song to sort of end off the night. But let me keep on going with my next recommendation. And this one is going to be one from Ransom. We spoke earlier about some awesome lyricists in the likes of A Rome Streets. Ransom is someone that actually has a full collab album with Rome Streets. And he's really on that level, if not superior to me, to Rome Streets as a lyricist. And I always say this, but like I said, he's arguably one of the best wordsmiths in the game right now. And I feel like when it comes to like the best wordsmiths, we often hear about the Lupe Fiascos or the Black Thoughts or the Kendricks. But Ransom is often left out of the conversation and he really shouldn't be. So this song, like I said, it's called The Shining and it's the outro on this album that he made with Montreal's own Nicholas Craven, and this is on the album Director's Cut Scene 3. And what's really fire about this album is that if you go through the entire track list, every single song on here is titled after the title of a movie. So you have songs on here called like I Am Legend, you have Hereditary, you have Gone Girl, and it ends with The Shining, which is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. Have you ever seen The Shining with Jack Nicholson?
Seen The Shining. Yes, absolutely.
It's a classic. Bro.
That's a classic movie, but I don't know. I don't.
You don't fuck with it?
I don't get excited at horror movies anymore. I'm being completely honest with you.
I saw one recently called Ready or Not. It's one of those movies that, like, if you tell someone what the premise or the concept is, it ruins it.
But what is like the concept and the premise without ruining it? Do me a good solid.
Okay, so a girl like marries into a very wealthy family and they have a fucked up tradition.
Oh.
That's all I'm going to say. They have a very fucked up tradition, and that sort of sets the scene for what the whole movie
is
going to be.
This is my problem with the scary movies, okay, is that as a kid, I kind of fucked it up for myself because I never, like, I was in a competition with a horror movie where I'd be watching it, and I'm like, these fuckers aren't getting me. Like, there's no way. I'm not getting fucked by the jump scare. So what I would do is I would be watching the movie, and then I would put context to the movie where I would just picture all kinds of cameramen in that setting. So now every time I watch a horror movie, I can't get scared or entertained anymore because I could just imagine the back production and just like these guys with massive cameras as you see like a girl bleeding out on the floor, let's say. So I can't really get into horror movies anymore.
So that was your tactic to not like have nightmares as a kid, was like, let me picture this as like a full out production.
Yeah, like let's see it for what it is, you know, and
that ruins the fun of every movie if you look at it that way. Bro, like,
I know, but it was only horror movies. Like, I have my classics that I really like. I just rewatched that Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith. That's a fantastic movie. I don't know. I'm weird with my movies, man. Like, I don't like corny movies. I don't.
Well, you were. I think we were all shitting our pants when we watched one of those Paranormal Activity movies in your basement. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, how old were we? Like 12 years old?
We were like 12 years old. Yeah,
that was before I went off to high school.
Paranormal Activity 3, maybe.
The oldest one where you had like the Toby thing.
Yeah, it was a Toby thing.
We used to get into the Easter eggs of Paranormal Activity. What was their budget for the first one?
The first one was like fucking, I think it was like $200,000, bro. And it ended up grossing like
over $150 million at the box.
Something stupid like that.
That's crazy. Think about the return on investment on that type of shit.
Hollywood loves that shit. Even something like Joker, I think the budget was like fucking 30 mil. It grossed over $1 billion. Like,
wait, with Joaquin Phoenix, it was $30 million.
Let me look it up. I'm pretty sure the budget was like super small, bro. And that's why they're making a sequel, bro. It's just...
No kidding.
Okay, no, I'm wrong. $60 million. But still, to make $1 billion off of $60 million? Come on, bro.
That's a good return on investment.
Huge.
You got Warner Brothers.
Margins are crazy.
Who produced that? Was that Warner?
I think it was Warner. They own the property, so it must have been...
Was it Warner or Universal?
It was Warner with Todd Phillips directing. But anyways, let's get back into the music. My next song.
It's me.
I didn't even go through The Shining though.
Oh, it's true. We kind of like did a side mission.
Yeah, we start off with a beautiful soul sample with some vocals and some strings. And you know what? I'm not gonna say what the sample is, even though I kind of recognize it, just because if you know Nick Craven as a producer, he hates sample snitching. I don't know if you've ever seen him like talk about this on Twitter, but this is something that a lot of like producers hold near and dear to them. Even someone like DJ Kool Herc, like the father of hip hop, he's gone on record and saying that like as a DJ, it's common practice to not reveal where you're getting your records from because that's so precious to you. And you don't want people knowing which country you're sampling from or which artist you're picking out songs from to sample. So I have a lot of respect for that. And I feel like a lot of fans, like myself included, I love looking at who sampled and like rediscovering old music this way. But for a lot of producers, it makes sense that they want to keep it under wraps. So much love to Nick Craven. But anyways, Ransom enters into the song with some cocky energy, goes into his luxury bag about like rapping about getting drunk on a yacht in Belize, laying with models from Norway. And he's just such a smart writer and brings in for, you know, shit for you to chew on. Like, all my whores vegan, you can't at all meet them. Which is like a triple entendre if you break it down. And he even gets deep talking about like his upbringing in like foster homes and having to like fight for covers to go to bed at night. Like really deep and raw shit. And there's even a lot of Easter eggs that relate to The Shining movie, which I found really clever. So anytime there's that much intention and thought behind a song with that level of top tier lyricism, you win me over every time.
Absolutely. All right. So where should I go next? I have some bold.
I don't think we have to get through all 10 of our songs. I'm going to name like probably two more.
Yeah, you want to go two more?
Yeah, I'm going to go something like that. What about you? How many more do you want to go through?
Okay, you know what? How about this? How about I go into a Currency track? I want to go into Nautica by Currency featuring Made in Tokyo off of Back at Bernie's, talking about, you know, a classic movie spinoff for an album. This is kind of the same effect with the Back at Bernie's, obviously, play where it's talking about Bernie's and, you know, you get what the fuck I'm saying. If you go through it, you even see the old, what is this?
An old movie Chevrolet poster for A Weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah. Like, it looks extremely similar to it.
Okay.
So, What's interesting is that Currency Made in Tokyo is a duo that I never thought would work, but did a fantastic job on this track. I consider this track to be flawless just because of the optimization factor. It's only 2 minutes and 30 seconds, but you're engaged from start to finish because you get Currency in his classic smoking bag, and he starts off the song with the inhale, and then he goes into his verses, but the production is so wavy. It feels like you're underwater. It feels like you're at the Nautica. You know, it feels like you're at a, you know, you're at a pier and you're overlooking the boats on the ocean. That's literally how you feel while you're supposed to be listening to this song. I've smoked out so many different times to this song. I love the chemistry between Made in Tokyo and Currency. As I said, it's a duo that I don't expect to work, but I'm pleasantly surprised with the outcome of. So that wins me over on points. The production is flawless. Both of them have fantastic flows coming into the track as well. You have, you know, Made in Tokyo talking more about his fashion sense, and it's nothing too crazy. It's more of like luxury rap to a certain extent, but just being able to be immersed into that type of vibe and this type of atmosphere is very special for me. So Nautica by Currency, please go give it a listen.
All right, my next song is going to be Hometown Hero by Oblay Reed, and this song actually came out in 2023, and he's another young upcoming rapper that gets a lot of those J. Cole comparisons the same way that an Aaron May would. And at the end of the day, I don't give a fuck, bro. I really don't. Like, the music's solid. He's from Seattle, which is pretty cool. And Oblay does not curse in his songs. And I found that really interesting just because sometimes I'll have a hard time to get through curse-free songs. Like, that was a bit of an issue I had with Donda, where I would go through some of the songs and, like, there's words that you hear being bleeped, and it kind of takes you out of the song experience a little bit. But with Oblay Reunion, that's never an issue. And he just dropped an album called Linden Ave, which has been making a lot of noise. And Hometown Hero is the biggest song on there. Moody Trap Anger serves as a tribute where Oblay sort of navigating from singing and rapping throughout it. And it's a tribute to his hometown. But I think what makes it flawless to me is just the fact that he's rapping about this concept that is often overlooked and not spoken about enough. And when that's about, like, having love for your city, but that love not being reciprocated back to you as an emerging artist. So that's sort of what it's about, is like him feeling like he's willing to break his back for a city and, like, even wear that city on his sleeve, but he's having a hard time being embraced by the media there, the crowds of people. And I think that it was such a cool concept too, because there's actually a statistic that if you look at Seattle, their hip-hop consumption has not reached the average, like the national average for hip-hop consumption in different states in America. So there's not as many people like consuming hip-hop in Seattle, which is pretty interesting.
Kind of like an underdog story.
Underdog story, but yeah, I really love the rich writing that sort of fleshed out this concept of someone loving their hometown, but not knowing if they should rep it or not because of the way they're being treated. And that's something that I've heard a lot from other artists that we've spoken to throughout the years, of that lack of a feeling that their hometown is really doing the most for them. So
yeah, but while I do agree with that emotion, I do think it is a flawed thing to look at, and I'll explain to you why. I do feel like in the age of digital marketing and the internet, that you could go wherever you want and you could reach wherever you want.
I'm not saying you have to rely on like local coverage or different brands from around you, but it is cool for people that work in media from where you're from to rep you and to show you love. You know what I mean? Especially if you've put in the work and that you've grown that organic fan base. I feel like there's a lot of artists that for one reason or another are sort of like discluded from certain conversations or certain events or whatever the case may be. So
yeah, but there's some big example. I think like Post Malone's from Rochester, New York, in upstate New York. Crazy, crazy shit. And like, he's one of the biggest artists in the world. So yeah, well, I do feel, and this is just for any artist listening or any creative, because we kind of had the same outlook with Montreal and being in English entertainment. It's kind of hard sometimes, you know.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
You know, and there's no knock, you know, the French culture is as prominent in the city. It's beautiful. It's merited. You have to be educated here and you have to be able to be immersed into it. But if you're an English entertainment company, it's very hard to get started.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's another barrier, is the language barrier for us in specific. But that's another point of evidence for like what artists might struggle with when it comes to their...
But think about that. Think about how much the city has helped us grow, and let's say being in a more quiet atmosphere to be able to create and cook, being able to be in your hometown and have access to family. I feel like there's an...
There's pros and cons. Absolutely.
Absolutely, you know? But anyways, let me continue going on with this. So I managed to snag in some McJenkins at the end of this. How many more songs do you want me to do? One or two?
I'm going to do one more after you, so it's up to you, however many you want to bring in.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'll do one, you do one, I'll end off with one.
Bet.
All right, so next one I want to bring in is actually Typical Shit by Chris Patrick featuring Deontay Hitchcock off of his project From the Heart Volume 2 that released back in 2020. Really nice EP. Well, I consider it an EP because it's only 9 songs and 32 minutes, but if you go through this, you're going to have such a fun time because Chris Patrick is a very animated rapper. Shout out to the entire CXR team. You guys are doing fantastic stuff over there. And... just Typical Shit to me is a flawless song. When you go through it and you have to really look at the collaboration, it's incredible. It's personal. The hook is perfect. Going into the atmospheric and moody production knocks all my check marks as far as what a rap song is supposed to be. And Chris still made this at a relatively like new time in his career. Like I think he was getting started with the Pokemon Cyphers like 3 years before this. And this was really one of the first projects that I feel like, at least for me, that gravitated me towards him and his music. So just a little quick side note, go into Typical Shit, enjoy it. And maybe you guys are or not familiar with Deontay Hitchcock, but he's another fantastic rapper. Someone that I've been following for such a long time as well. Super underrated. They're both underrated, and I hope very good things for Chris. He's awesome. We met each other at the... Were you there when we met him at the Cincy 80s camp?
Absolutely.
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, he recognized us right away.
I think we had like separate conversations, though. Like when you saw him, I wasn't there. When I saw him, you weren't there.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. But yeah, Chris is a fantastic dude. He has an incredible come up story, extremely intelligent, well versed in his career. One of my favorite interviews I've actually done on the platform, low key, early on. I think that's still up if you guys want to go see that. That's a little...
Is that should still be up, actually.
We never took it down.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was I think that was a Zoom interview from what I remember. But
dude, that's when we were doing Zoom interviews. Incredible stuff.
Incredible
stuff.
Time. Absolutely. But yeah, the song that I want to wrap up with is one that I spoke about never in an audio podcast, but probably from my end of the year list. And that's going to be Black Tame by Topaz Jones. Came out in 2021. And this is one of my favorite songs of this decade off of one of my favorite albums from this decade, which is Don't Go Telling Your Mama by Topaz Jones. And I saw someone call this song like Motown rap. And while I do agree for how soulful it is, it's much more than that in the sense that it's truly a genreless song that smoothly weaves in some funk, some soul, some rap, whatever influences it could grab at and like seamlessly weave into its composition, it's there. And what I want to say in terms of recommendation, if you have a sibling, if you have a family member, a friend that isn't too invested into hip hop and the traditional hip hop sound, this is the perfect song to show them because the rhythm, the melodies, the grooves, they're undeniable. And my brother, like, this is the second shout he's going to get on this episode, but just to say, this is an artist that I showed to him.
Yeah, but Alex is into like underrated artists, low key.
He is, and he has a really good ear for music.
Incredible ear for music.
Yeah,
one of the best I've ever seen.
For sure, but like he's like very limited with the hip hop artists that he fucks with. Like he likes Anderson .Paak, Eminem, 50 Cent, and like a few other people. But he ended up really fucking with Topaz Jones because of that mix of genres that he brought
in.
Is
he a Kendrick fan? He
likes some Kendrick stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
He likes some Kendrick
stuff. J. Cole.
Again, I think he's more J. Cole than he is Kendrick.
How about Drake?
No.
Nah,
I'm not a Drake fan.
Yeah, Alex doesn't look like the guy to be into Drake.
Definitely not.
He doesn't look like the guy to be into Drake,
no,
that's for sure.
That's for sure. But yeah, amazing song. You have these choir-esque vocal formation on the chorus that you won't be able to get out of your head for how catchy it is. And you have some cool ad-libs that the choir adds in as well. And Topaz just rapping about trying to find someone in this era and like rapping about the promotion of plastic surgery and like social media's effect on dating. And like, it does go a bit dark and some of it is a bit depressing, but he presents it in such a fun and uplifting way. And again, to me, it's just, it's a genreless bop that anyone is bound to love. And that's why I thought it was a perfect song to bring in.
All right, let me wrap up this episode. Let me go on to What Am I To Do by Mick Jenkins, produced.
I was thinking about bringing this in.
You have to bring this in.
Haven't we spoken about this on an older audio pod?
I don't think
so. No, okay.
I don't feel like we have.
I feel like we did once, but anyways.
I
don't remember. Still worthy of being in this episode.
Yeah, it has to be in this episode. This is definitely a perfect song. This is maybe the best song out of everything that me and you have brought in today combined.
Like, chill out. I don't know if I take it that far.
For What Am I To Do?
I made a fucking flawless song, but again.
Listen, in my opinion, it might be my favorite song on this list today. Just because you get Mick Jenkins in more of his political bag talking about all the pits and downfalls of society and sort of saying, what am I to do? Legitimately, like, I can't do anything. I'm just going to continue living with my life and going on with it. But it's the soul sample flip from K Tronada that just absolutely gets me, and how unconventional it is and how well suited it is for a rapper like Mick Jenkins. And he has such an unconventional flow at times, especially when he's trying to attack different types of tracks. And when you get into this one, it's a bit more of a traditional Mick Jenkins flow where he's not getting too quirky on it. Like, maybe it's not like Elephant in the Room type performances. It's not like that vibe. But what's nice about it is that it's easily one of his most accessible songs, and it is with K Tronada. And to be able to see that legendary link up again, if you guys are from Montreal, Mick Jenkins has made so much material in Montreal and has taken a big influence from the city. So it's nice to bump this within the city that kind of formed his sound to a certain extent and that has formed K Tronada.
Definitely helped shape his sound.
So when you put, you know, all of that together, I do think it equals out to a perfect track, and he's super underrated.
There's so many lyrics that really stick with you. There's one, I think it's when you call the police but the trigger's on you. Like, just like how much that one line means. It's crazy.
Yeah, the political messaging in the song is super strong. It's motivational. You could also flip it on its backside and use it as a motivational underdog song to be able to maybe get you hyped up throughout a workout or play it in the car. It's great for any setting as well. So I just wanted to end off the podcast like this because I'm like, well, it perfectly encapsulates what we're speaking about today. So nice episode, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
Nice selections, bro. That was cool. That was nice. I wanted to bring in some guys that I thought were underrated. And Donny Bonet. Shout out to Donny Bonet.
Donny Bonet, guys. And look up who Donny Bonet is after this.
Please. And go to the 2018 album, The Don. Do yourselves a favor if you want to feel The Don.
I love that.
Crazy. Such a confident man.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
How could you get a better, like, when you see this man walking in the street, you have to stop. He just has like a...
The fucking hairdo, bro.
It's crazy. It is crazy.
Yeah.
That's what I call
him. He's like an Australian Bill Murray. That's the vibes I'm getting.
That's fire. But anyways, guys, that's going to wrap up the episode. Thank you guys so much for staying throughout the entirety of this. I almost destroyed my laptop. We spoke about Donny Bonet, and we ended up giving you guys some good recommendations for perfect rap and disco song. So if you guys are enjoying the audio experience, please smash the 5-star review. It means a lot to us, and leave us a little review if you guys want to. It always helps us out. And we are going to be doing this every single Tuesday, so please follow the Spotify, Apple Music, or anywhere else you are listening to this episode. It would help us out a bunch. Lou, any final words before I get off?
As always, guys, thank you for listening. Go stream Donny Bonet and have yourselves a good day. Peace.